Okay, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, hello, good to see you today, good to see you. If you just make your way back to your seats, that would be great. My name's Tony, by the way, if I've not been introduced to you. I've been away for a few weeks, apologies for that. Can I just have the sound down a little bit? I'm really ringing up here, lots and lots. Been away for a few weeks. Cheryl and I had a little holiday, went to the beautiful Airlie Beach area, and we're up there, supposed to be there for 7 or 8, 9 days, somewhere there, and 4 days in, you know it, we got COVID, and I should say Cheryl got COVID, and I nursed her, and took care of it, looked after her, and anyway... We had to change our plans. We couldn't fly home. It's a one-hour flight. Everyone say 1 hour. 1 hour flight from Airlie Beach to Brisbane. It's a way to travel. But because somebody had COVID, we had to extend the car hire, cancel the flights, drive home. Who's ever driven from like Townsville, Airlie Beach way, all the way to Brisbane? It's a drive. You kind of try and avoid if you possibly... can. So we drove home, and then Cheryl passed on COVID to me, and I was I was in bed for about a little while, and got a little bit crook and whatnot, and everyone say oh, and 10 days out of circulation, and missed church for a couple of weekends. Then it started raining, and we got flooded in last weekend. Can you believe this rain? Who's sick of the rain? Well, just remember what it's like, because in a few months you're going to be looking for it. So thank God for the rain. Thank God for the rain. Sorry, I'm just waffling because I've messed up my little computer here, and I can't find where my notes are and what I'm preaching to you about today. So I'm all over the place. What a good deal. Happy birthday to Dion. Give Dion a big hand today. Happy birthday. That was for yesterday, was it, I think? Or maybe the day before. Somewhere there you had a birthday. Good on you. Happy birthday to Pastor John Rewald online today. Everyone wish John a happy birthday. Good on you, Pastor John, and others today. If you've had a birthday or a celebration, we're cheering you on today. It's just good to celebrate people's special moments. If you're a volunteer in our church, if you volunteer on any team in any capacity, would you just stand to your feet for me right now? If you're a volunteer, if you're online, stand up too in your living room. If you're a volunteer in the room today, just stand to your feet. Would you applaud all of these beautiful people and give them a big cheer? Come on, all our volunteers today that volunteer in a range of teams. We have volunteers in our children's church. We have volunteers in our youth ministry, volunteers in our young adults ministry, volunteers in hospitality. You look after the cafe, the kitchen on Sundays and special events, our tech teams who volunteer, our service teams who volunteer, our creative team who volunteer. We have volunteers everywhere in our church, and there's a lot more than what are standing today who aren't able to be here today. But we want to just say thank you. We want to honour all of our volunteers today. Apparently it's Volunteers Week. Yeah. Somebody put that on the calendar. I don't know who's responsible for it, but somebody put it on the world calendar that it's World Volunteer Week this week. So we wanted to say thank you to you. Next year we're going to have it on our calendar properly and do something really special. But today I'm going to shout you coffee. Today is what we're going to do. So free coffee for all of our volunteers today in the cafe. Just go and you've got to do this sign. Everyone do that? If you can do that, you get a free coffee if you're a volunteer. That's what you do. That's the sign. Okay, thank you. Take your seats. Give the volunteers a big thank you. Thank you. What a good deal. It's fantastic. We do have a few things on that I just wanted to highlight for you. The new people's dinner. Look, that's a thing you can't miss if you're a new person. It's food. Who likes food? It's food, and it's great food, and it's great company. You get to meet some of the leaders in our church and spend a night with them, and some things we just want to talk to you about, especially as a new person. And so that's next Sunday, 6 p.m. You need to register at the Ask Me desk in the foyer, put your name down there, and we'll make sure we're ready for you, catered for you, and expecting you next Sunday night. It's a way to move life forward in our church. That's what it is. It's a way you really get engaged. It's a way you get to microwave your church experience, is to come to that event next Sunday night. Now, I know there was something else that I had to let you know about. The food outlet is open today. Also, look, our food outlet, I normally don't talk about it when I'm preaching, but today I just want to let you know that we're in a season where we're getting a lot of fresh fruit and veg particularly, and it's really expensive for fresh fruit and veg at the moment. We're getting direct from the Rockley markets, and so we get it on like a Friday afternoon late, and we've got to get rid of it, and so it's here on a Sunday for you. And so if you want to go and have a shop straight after church, that would be a great thing. Choose life. Everyone say choose life. Choose life is the theme that we started last week. Thank you to Pastors Daryl and Marichal, who took in and just cared for everything whilst we weren't able to be here, and particularly with the preaching. You know, it's never easy to jump in and preach when you're not expecting to preach. And I kind of just threw it at Pastor Marichal and said, you've got to start this series. You've got to introduce the thought. We're going for 3 weeks on this subject of choosing life. And she did an outstanding job setting the stage for what we're talking about this week, about choosing life. You know, moving life forward is what we're here to do. We're here to move life forward in our church, in our community, in our nation. The whole world at the moment is endeavouring and doing their best to really move life forward in this very unusual season. And it's a choice to move life forward. It's a very intentional, everyone say choice. It's a choice. It's a choice to move life forward, to not give up, to not lay down, to not die. Like Paul says, daily our bodies are dying, but our spirits are renewed also day by day. It's a choice not to give up when you get knocked down. It's a choice to stand up and have a go again. It's a choice. And so we're all making that choice today to choose. And it starts with this. It starts with choosing to love the Lord with all of your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. That's where this choice starts. To live for God is an intentional choice, a decision to put God first in the different spaces and areas of your life. And then also to live with a spirit of gratitude for your moment. Whatever your moment is, whatever your moment is, whatever your circumstance or season might be, that you could make a choice to move life forward and put God first. So as was said last week, we're in a season, all of us are in it, whether we like it or not, we're in it, where we're reimagining life. We're really reinventing life. We're really recalibrating and restoring and rebuilding our lives. And, you know, this is a popular theme right throughout the Bible. So we're not in unknown territory in a sense. People have been using that language. These are uncharted waters. We've never been here before. And that's true. But what's also true is that in the scriptures particularly, there are a lot of accounts. There's a lot of moments. There's different seasons where the people of God found themselves kind of lost. They found themselves kind of isolated and separated from God and the God plan and the God life. And they had to come back to God and come back to a sense of alignment with God, so that they could move life forward. And this is where we started last week. And we started in this thought from Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 2. And what I want you to particularly note in these first few verses are what they do is they frame for us our thought of what God's heart is for us. It's important to know what God's heart is for every one of us. Listen to what it says. And I want you to particularly note the spirit of this text, where it talks about God restoring and blessing and increasing. Deuteronomy 32. If at that time, Moses said, your children return to the Lord your God, and if you obey with all of your heart and all of your soul and all the commands that I've given you today, then the Lord your God will restore. Everyone say restore. He will restore. God's a restorer. It says this over and over and over in different places in the Bible. It says God will restore your fortunes, and then he will make you even more prosperous and numerous than your ancestors. In other words, he's saying the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. Don't think you're spent. Don't think you're done. Don't think it's over. Don't think you're finished, because what's coming is going to be far greater and better than what has been, is what Moses is saying on behalf of the Lord. He says, the Lord your God will then make you successful in everything you do. So I love that Moses kind of preempts and he prefaces this intentional decision he's asking the children of Israel to make by displaying the heart of God. And God's heart is to restore to us. God's heart is to bless us. God's heart is to increase us and to move life forward and to restore what the enemy has stolen. And the enemy steals through, you know, natural events like what we've gone through and we are going through at the moment. And God's a restorer of hope. So don't ever give up on God. And then Moses says this: this command I'm giving you today is not too difficult for you. It's not beyond your reach. No, the message is very close at hand, and it is on your lips, it should be, and it's in your heart that you can obey it. It's on your lips and it's in your heart. Now listen, today I'm giving you a choice between life and death, between prosperity and between disaster. You can make this choice by loving the Lord your God and obeying him and committing yourself firmly to him. This is the key to your life. Moses says this is the key to your life. By obeying God, listening to him, firmly committing yourself to him, this is how you move life forward. And Moses is saying it's not a mystery. It's not difficult for us to understand. It's on our lips and it's in our heart. It's on our lips and it's in our heart. Do you know God's plan for us in our lives is not by chance. God's plan happens by choice. It doesn't happen by chance. So don't chance it, choose it. Don't chance it, choose the plan of God. Choose the God life. Choose God's way of living is the counsel that Moses is giving the children of Israel. So God has a plan. You know, it's one thing for God to have a plan. It's another thing for us to embrace it. See, God does have a plan. The Bible talks about it over and over again. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. To give you a hope and a future. That's the plan of God. But that plan doesn't happen unless we embrace the plan. Unless we action the plan. Unless we align or realign ourselves with the heart and the nature of God. You see, death and life are at work in the same space in our lives. Death and life. And we are faced with choices all the time that are either a life choice or they're a death choice. A life choice or a death choice. They are the choices that we have. And we've been particularly drilling down, and we want to focus on the tongue and our words. That's what we're talking about, because Moses said, it's on your lips and it's in your heart. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 18:21 that the tongue has the power of life and death. The tongue has the power of life and death. Can I encourage every one of us to be life-giving with our words? To be life-giving with our words. Words are valuable. They are important. They either bring life or death. So be careful how you use your words. When we're tiny tots, our parents, when they raise us, they teach us this principle. Use your words. Use your words, because words are what engage us with life and with others. And communication is so valuable, it's so important. But the way we talk, the things that we say, the words we use, it's important not only to use them, but to use them well. To use them in a way that's healthy. Now, words, they either strengthen us and others, or they weaken us and also weaken others. I think a lot of people underestimate the power and the value and the place of words in our life. And I actually think a lot of people have a real challenge accepting this truth. Accepting this truth. And that's why we're talking about it today, because I want to absolutely champion the thought that the Bible says that the power of life and death are in the tongue. The power of life and death are in the words that we use, because they direct our life. They frame our world. They script and steer our future life. So much so that the Bible says this. James, he writes this about the tongue. He says, a bit in the mouth of a horse controls the whole horse. That's an amazing thing. You know, a horse is a really powerful animal, really powerful. And yet it's controlled by this little metal thing that's put in its mouth with a harness on it, the reins, that pulls it back, and it controls the direction of that powerful beast. And here James likens that to our tongue, in the way that the tongue, he says, is a small member, but don't underestimate it. It's powerful, it's significant. It either gives life or death. He says, a small rudder on a huge ship in the hands of a skilled captain sets a course in the face of the strongest winds. And so that little part on a ship, the rudder, directs the destiny of a ship. He says, likewise, a word out of your mouth may seem of no account, but it can accomplish nearly anything, or it can destroy it. A lot of trouble can come with our words. It only takes a spark, remember, to set off a forest fire. A careless or wrongly placed word out of your mouth can also do that. By your speech, we can ruin the world. We can ruin the world with our speech. We can turn harmony into chaos, throw mud on a reputation, send the whole world up in smoke and go up in smoke with it. Smoke right from the pit of hell. The Bible speaks very strongly about our words. About our words and the words we choose to speak, because they either give life to us and others, or they take life from us or others. Several big things I want to say today. The first one is this, is choosing life, this choice of life that Moses talks about. It means to speak without complaining or arguing. When it comes to our words, that we'd learn to speak of ourselves and to others without complaining or arguing. So rather than having a spirited conversation of complaint, that I would have one that is thankful. Thankful no matter what the moments are that I find myself in. This is a challenge. Paul says it in the book of 1 Thessalonians in the Bible, chapter 5, verse 18. He says, give thanks in all. Everyone say all. All circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. What's God's will? That we'd learn to give thanks in all situations that we find ourselves in. Not for all situations, because there's a lot of things I'm not thankful for. I was not thankful that Cheryl got COVID while we're on holidays. I was not thankful that we had to drive home. I was not thankful that it was passed on to me. I was not thankful that I was confined to my house for 10 or 11 days. I was not thankful that I couldn't come to church. But I am really thankful that I am here right now today. How good is it to be in the house of God? It really is. It's so good. I've been on the other side of that thing, that camera, at home. Who's done church online? Church online is amazing when you've got to use it. It really, it's amazing when you've got to use it. And last week I was church online at home, and I was watching all of you, and you're worshiping, and the preaching's happening, and the worship is taking place, and I'm having a cup of tea. Because that's what you do, Theo, when you're online. At home, you can do that at home. You can't do it here. You can't just go out in the kitchen and make... We should make that a rule. We should make that a thing. That you could. Just go and have a cup of tea. I had a cup of tea and I sat there and I'm enjoying the worship and everything. But the quality at our place is a little different, because we're on satellite NBN. If you don't know what satellite NBN is, it's just ordinary, is what it is. So the download speed, Mr. Dale, is not real helpful. So it's disjointed. And so it doesn't matter how amazing it sounds here, it doesn't quite come across as amazing for us at home. So that's why when I'm at home, I want to be here. I really want to be in the house
of God. I want to be gathered with the people because it's a good thing to do. But to be thankful in every situation, that's a skill. That's a skill. That's called being an adult. That's called being a big person. You know, being a big person, being an adult, being mature, it's tough. Adulting is tough work. Life was so much easier when I was a kid. And I could have whatever attitude I wanted and it didn't matter. You know, because I was in training. And Paul says there's a time to be a child and there's a time to grow up. Turn to your neighbour and say, you know you want to. You know you want to, don't you? Maybe text message it to someone right now. That's always a test of a good relationship. Hey? That's a test. Telling someone close to you, you know what, you just need to grow up. You just need to settle down. You just need to lose your attitude. You just need to watch the way you speak. Without complaining. Without arguing. You know the thing about complaining is like Paul says this in another place, Philippians 2:14. Do everything without complaining and arguing. I hate that. Do everything. Everything without complaining and arguing. So if you're doing it with a complaint, you're doing it wrong. Here's the deal with complaint and argument. The outcomes of complaint and argument are never good. They are never good. They're never good for us, the outcomes of complaint and argument. And it's not that we should ever not complain about something. This is talking about living with a spirit of complaint. That Pastor Marichal mentioned it last week, a word that's in the Bible. It's called cantankerous. Everyone say cantankerous. Cantankerous. The Bible says this, not Tony. The Bible. You know, it's good to differentiate between what the Bible says and what Tony says. Like Paul says that somewhere in the Bible. He says, the Lord says, not I. The Lord says. And then he goes, I say, not the Lord. So this is what the Bible says. The Bible says it's not a good thing to live with a cantankerous wife. I think God's really speaking to us right now. Any men feel that? Any men game to stand with me right now? Come on, your pastor needs help. He's out on a limb. Let's not make it about gender. Let's just say this. It's not good to live with a cantankerous person. It's not good to work with a cantankerous person. Nothing healthy around a cantankerous person. Let me give you some thoughts around complaint and argument if you're that cantankerous personality. Nobody wants to work with a cantankerous person. Nobody wants to work with someone full of argument and complaint. Nobody wants to live with somebody that's full of argument and complaint. Nobody wants to come home to that. Nobody wants to live with that. Nobody wants to be involved with that. There's nothing attractive about being full of complaint and argument. So we've got to find a new way of living, because as humans, sometimes for some of us and for some personalities, they lean more into the complaint and argument field than they do in the I'm thankful field. And if that's you, you've got to lean the other way today. Here's the thought. Don't complain about what you allow. Yeah. Don't complain about what you allow. If you don't like your job, leave it. Find a new job. And when you get in that new job, if you don't like that one, leave it. And then when you get in the new one, take a good look in the mirror, because you've discovered the problem. It's not the job. It's you. It's you. If you've got to keep leaving, there's a problem in the core. So stop walking out the door because of a problem in the core. Wow. Own it. Yeah. Own the core. Own the complaint. Own the argument and work it out. If your kids don't respect you, teach them, train them. Teach and train them to respect. Teach and train them to honor. Teach and train them to do life well in that area. If your life is out of control, manage it. Nobody else can. Nobody else can manage our lives. We have to own our lives and manage it ourselves. If we allow it, we sustain it. We feed it. We feed it. We give it a growth environment is what we do. If we don't lead it, we feed the problem. And so don't complain, reframe. Reframe. Learn to reframe the areas of your life that are full of complaint and that are full of argument, because complaint steals the life out of us and also the life out of others. Are you still with me after that big point? Choosing life, secondly, means to speak, to build and benefit others. To speak, to build and benefit other people. Here's a powerful verse. It's in Ephesians 4:29. Paul says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." Who listen. God wants our words to build others up, to bless other people according to their needs. Do you have needy people in your world?
Yeah.
Needy. It was a rather passionate yes on the front row there from my wife. If you have needy people in your world, build them up with your words. Build them up with your words is what Paul is saying. He's also saying this, watch your mouth. Watch your mouth. Talk in a way that builds. Talk in a way that is healthy. Talk in a way that is helpful. Check your words and make sure they are healthy and not hurtful. Healthy and not hurtful. Check that your words build, not break. That they build and not break. So in other words for us today, the lesson is this. It's to speak in a way that builds encouragement in the lives of other people. You see, I never want to be a part of a family. I never want to be part of a team or a church that doesn't build others up. Any friends there today? Any friends there today? I don't want to be a part of a family, a team, a church, a community that tears others down. So we need to ask ourselves, what kind of home do I want to live in? Not the physical building, but the people in there. The family. What kind of home and family do I want? What kind of team do I want to be in and be a part of? What kind of team do I want that to be? What kind of church do I want to be a part of? Do I want to be a part of a team, a family, a church that builds, that encourages, that inspires? That's the kind of church, that's the kind of team, that's the kind of family, that's the kind of people that I want to be around, people that give life, not take life. Yeah. Be a giver, not a taker.
Yeah.
Be a giver, not a taker. Give life to others. You see, when we choose the God life, the life of God flows through us. When we choose the God life, the life of God flows through us. And what it does is it impacts. It impacts and it inspires every other space, every other environment around our world. Cheering and speaking positively builds, blesses, and benefits other people. You know, when your team's playing well, the crowd get vocal. They cheer. Have you ever been to the football? You've been to whatever sport it is, whatever's your thing, like if it's lawn bowls. The crowd, when the crowd starts to cheer, what happens is it rallies a sense of the home ground advantage. The home ground advantage. And it inspires the players to dig deep, to dig in, and to give absolutely everything. I think this is a season, I know this is a season for the church to really become cheerers. To cheer on the church. To cheer on God. To cheer on faith and everything that happens in the house of God, to publicly proclaim it, to declare it, to prophesy it in a sense, and get it out there, get the message out there, get some good news out there about church world, church life, God, the God life. Get it out there on social media. There's enough other junk out there. There's enough other junk that comes on our streams digitally. We need to get some good news out there that inspires and that attracts and that draws other people. So learn to cheer on and speak well in a way that's healthy and blesses other people. Thirdly, choosing life means talking about what and who you're for rather than what and who you're against. Speak about what you're for and who you're for, rather than what you're against or who you're against. We live in a culture today that is, it prides itself in speaking out about what and who it's against. Prides itself in that. And we've seen that rallying cry over the last few years with this pandemic, where the loudest people are the ones who speak against things. The loudest voices are the ones that speak against different things that have happened around our world. And their voices heard. They've escalated things during the pandemic season, where we've had this moment of the call-out voice, the cancel culture, and the protest voice. And it's not that it's wrong to protest, but when it's done in a negative way, it's actually hurtful. It's not helpful when it's not done in a life-giving way. We as believers need to always ask ourselves, does this add life? Yeah. Is this going to polarize us? Is that what it's going to do? Is that the way God has called us to use our voice? Does it unite or does it divide others? And I think what we should be doing is directing our voice into a positive pattern and talk more about what and who we are for and what we stand for. I'm all for God and I'm all for the God life. I'm totally sold out on that. I'm all for the church, and I don't care whether it's ugly. I don't care whether it's old. I don't care whether they sing country and western music or whether they got bright lights and everything that glitters and shines and rocks and roll. I don't care what package the church comes in. I've just made a decision years ago that I'm all for the church. I'm for family. I'm all for family. I'm for generosity and I'm for giving. I'm for sharing. I'm for helping. I'm for serving and I am for participating. I am for forgiveness and I am absolutely totally sold out to grace. I am for restoration and I am for redemption. I am for all things God, because all things God are gold. I believe in this. Thank you to those other two people that believe in that. We all believe in that, don't we? We believe in that. Let's tell people what we're for. What we're for. When you talk about what you're for, you're so much more attractive. When all I ever hear is the thing that you're against, it kind of, people brand you for that. And they know if they're going to engage in conversation with you, that's all they're going to hear. And they start to walk around you. That's what happens. They start to avoid it because of that conversation. Let's talk all things politics for a moment, because you should never talk about politics in church. So let's go there. Let's talk about politics. We've had an election. How many of you are sick and tired of all the advertising for the election? I mean, goodness me, those TV ads, don't they drive you crazy? I mean, they get the person with the most irritating voice with that little jingle that just plays over and over and over again. And by the end of it, you're just hating on them with what they do. Now, we've had a change of our government that's going to take place over the next few days. And the Morrison government have been displaced. And so the Liberal National Party coalition are no longer governing our land. As of the next few days, Anthony Albanese and the Labor Party will be heading up the government. I'm not quite sure what the mix of things look like being at the moment. And for some people, they're cheering about that. For others, they're upset. For some, they're falling on their sword. They can't believe it. Can I just say this? Heaven is still on the throne. Heaven is still on the throne. And it doesn't matter at the end of the day whether your party got in, whether my party got in, or, you know, I don't know who you voted for. That's your business. That's your personal deal. We don't stand up in our church and say, you got to vote for this, and you got to, like they do in America. We just don't do that. We believe in a democratic society. And I, at the end of the day, whoever's governing our land, thank you for them, and God bless them, and we pray for them, and I'm not going to be bad-mouthing them. For some people that are Christian, they think unless their party's in, they can't speak healthily of the government, and they go on like a hate campaign the moment government changes. That's just childish, is what that is. And I think we need to be mature about the way we handle these things. And I admire respectfully so much last night when Scott Morrison gave his speech in defeat and acknowledged in such a healthy way the exchange that will take place with the government and the fact that a new government is coming in, and the way he spoke of Anthony Albanese and the Labor Party, even though they are in a sense polarized and really enemies in a sense, there was a sense of real dignity and honor with that exchange that took place. So there's my Sunday morning little rant about the change of government. I'm just trying to say that to say, don't get distressed about it. Don't be distressed about it. God is still on the throne. Choosing life, number four, is it means to express joy. It means to express joy. You know, the Bible has some really challenging verses that are challenging to our human heart. This is one of them. It says, rejoice in the Lord always, and I'll say it again, rejoice, just in case you missed it, is what Paul is saying. Rejoice in the Lord always. Would you say always for me, please?
Always.
I looked up always in the Greek, not the Latin, in the Greek. And in the Greek, always means all the time. It's deep. All the time, no matter what, no matter the situation, no matter the circumstance, rejoice. Always. That word always. You know what makes this so powerful, so relevant, so significant for this moment that we are in time right now? Is the fact that when the Apostle Paul wrote it, he wasn't on vacation. He wasn't on a beach somewhere, sitting away, just holidaying and, you know, at peace with himself and just, you know, in a good place. He was in a Roman prison. He was in a dark dungeon. The stress was real. He was in isolation and the struggle was real for him. And he wrote this book to the Philippian church. And the theme of this entire book is joy. It's learning to choose joy in the face of turmoil and struggle. Learning to choose joy when you're surrounded by trouble. Learning to choose joy when you've got hardship going on. Learning to choose joy when you're in the valley or you're in the wilderness. Learning to choose joy when things are not going your way. I don't know whether you've ever been in the valley, the wilderness, or things haven't gone your way. Things aren't working out, and there's a little bit of brokenness around your world. Paul's saying to us in those moments, choose joy. There's something significant about choosing a heart and an attitude and a mouth of joy when things aren't going according to the plan. Rather than getting captured by that complaining kind of thought and that complaining kind of moment and that complaining spirit, Paul's saying, choose joy. It's a better outcome. It's a better outcome. You're a much more attractive person when you choose joy. Yeah. When you smile, people are drawn to you, and you're not faking it till you make it. It's just a choice you make, that no matter what goes on and is going on, no matter what my season or moment might be, I am going to choose joy. It's a life choice. Choosing life means to speak at the highest level of your faith. 2 Corinthians 4:13, once again, Paul writes this. It's a mysterious verse. A lot of people would read this verse and just go over it and think, I don't really know what that means. He says this, and he says it in the context of all the struggle that he's having in life and that the church is having and that they're experiencing. And he's saying this in the context of verses like, I know my body's dying, but inwardly my spirit's being renewed day by day. He says it in the context of where he says, I'm not looking at the trouble that we see, but rather we're looking forward to what we've not seen. The troubles we see will soon be over, but the joys to come will last forever. And then he writes this, and since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what was written, I believed, and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak. He's quoting David. He's quoting the psalmist, who also went through his country and western moments in life, went through his brokenness moments. And he quotes David and says, I believed, and therefore I spoke, and we also believe, and therefore we speak. What he's saying is this, as I've read in the Old Testament, I've read from my mentor, I've read from the people that lead my thinking and my life. I've read, and I've not only read, I've imitated, I've followed. And he says, so therefore I believe, and because I believe, I will therefore speak. I will therefore declare with that same spirit of faith, I will make my declaration. So Paul's saying, I will speak according to my faith. You know, Paul is holding the tension here. And this is what we all need to do. And this is what being an adult is all about. And if you don't get this right in your adult moments, you'll forever be a child emotionally. It's having the ability to hold the tension between what's working and what's not. What's right, what's wrong. What's now and what should be or could be. And it's not easy when you're caught in that no man's land. In that no man's land. And you're believing for something to happen that hasn't happened yet. And Paul addresses it. And he's really saying in that moment, speak what you believe. Speak what you believe. Paul had this amazing ability to hold the tension and talk himself up, not down. Talking himself up, not down. Occasionally, I want to pull people up when I hear them talk about themselves. Because I hear the way they speak and I think you're your own worst enemy. The way you're speaking of yourself and about yourself. Paul had his ability to declare what he wanted, not what he had. So my question for every one of us today is this, is what are you believing for? What are you believing God for? If I spent 5 or 10 minutes with you, would it come out of your mouth? Would the declaration come? Would you be speaking about the things that you are believing for, that you're wanting to see God do? Because that's the way God wants us to speak. And so next question, can you actually believe that God wants to do good things for you? God wants to do good things for you. That God wants to restore, that God wants to redeem, and that God wants to return. Restore, redeem, and return. Things to you that have been stolen from you or lost from you, taken from you. That God is that kind of God. That is His heart for you. Even when you don't see it, even when you can't feel it, believing that God is still working, that He never stops. Come on, you know the song, we sing it. That He never stops, He never stops, never stops working on your behalf. So this closing thought of speaking to the highest level of your faith, it's a life choice. That I'm going to speak that way. I'm not going to speak out all the doubt. I'm not going to speak out all the fear. I'm going to give voice to my faith. I'm going to give voice to my faith. I'm going to silence the worry, shush the doubts, shut down the fear, starve the fear by feeding my faith. What that does then is it releases the life force of the God life within me. Releases the life force of the God life within me. You see, if you allow doubt to work in you, you will allow doubt to talk you out of God's plan for you. If you allow the doubts and the fears and the worries to reign in your heart and your mind and your talking, your conversation, your declaration, you will actually talk yourself out of the plan that God has for you. I said before, it's one thing for God to have a plan. It's another thing for me to walk in it. It's another thing for us to choose to be intentional about walking in that plan of God. When we start to talk at the highest level of our faith to ourselves, about ourselves, and also other people, it allows God to work in you, it allows God to work for you, and it allows God to work through you. In you, for you, through you. I know people that are sitting around waiting for God to work through them, but He can't work through you until He works in you and for you. And that's His plan. That's His plan. It's choosing what thoughts you give voice to. What's going to lead and direct and frame your life. I encourage you to reframe today the way you talk. Because it will affect the way you walk out the God life. Would you stand to your feet, please? Everybody has doubts. Everyone has fears. Everybody has worries. We all do. The strongest, the loudest, the boldest, have doubts, fears, and worries. But the idea that I'm promoting to you today is this, is that we pass on the opportunity. We pass on it. Just pass on the opportunity. Just tap out on the opportunity to verbalize the thoughts of doubt, worry, fear, and frustration. Don't escalate them. Don't escalate them. The Bible says, pray about everything and worry about nothing. Some people have the wrong version of that in their Bible. They have the version that says, worry about everything and pray about nothing. That's not a version you want to own. Reverse the order. Order is very important. Make a decision about the thoughts you want to give voice to. You know, as we declare the things we're believing for, something begins to happen on the inside of us, in that thing I'm calling our core, our spirit, our heart, our mind, begins to absorb the belief that God could do what he said and promised to do. Even though I can't feel it right now, even though I can't see it and see no way for it possibly taking place, what happens is faith starts to rise in your heart. It starts to rise in your heart. Faith starts to rally. Faith starts to grow. It starts to develop. And the truth is, as faith grows, fear subsides. Fear subsides as faith grows. Worry begins to walk away when faith grows. Anxieties are shut down because faith trumps worry, doubt, fear, and frustration. So don't lower your mouth to the level of your feelings and your emotions. Just because you feel it doesn't mean you have to say it. One of the great skills of the way we talk and communicate is you don't have to say everything that enters your head. I had to teach myself that when I first started preaching, because I'd think all kinds of thoughts and things, and it'd come into my head, and I felt like because it came into my head, I had to say it. Just because it's in there, you don't have to say it. The worry's in there, the fear's in there, the frustration's in there, the doubt's in there. The way to get it out is not to say it. The way to get it out is to get faith rising. Get faith rising so fear can be shut down. Speak to the highest level of your faith. This is so significant, you know. Like even when it talks about our salvation in the Bible, we know we're saved by what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. And the invitation that he gives every one of us to have Jesus come into our heart and forgive us of our sins. We know it's totally his work. But there's another sense where we partner with God in this moment of salvation, where we align ourselves with God to be saved. And it says, this is how it happens. Paul says this in Romans 10, verses 8 to 10. He talks about, listen to the words in light of everything I've said today. If you believe in your heart, your core, if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, you will be saved. This whole connection between the core, our heart, our mind, our soul, and our declarations even goes to the point of salvation. It's how we're saved. It's how we express faith. It's how we express life. This is not a frivolous topic. This is the bit that's put in a horse's mouth and pulled back on with reins. If you're a horse rider, you know what that means. If you do boats and ships, and you know what a rudder does. If you've ever lit a fire, which pretty well every man in the room has done, because that's what we like to do, burn things. We're going to have a bonfire at my place real soon for all the boys, because that's what men do. And you will discover how much fire comes from a little spark. The Bible says you can set the whole forest on fire. Please don't do that at my place. We live on acreage surrounded by forest. Every time I have a fire, and when I have a fire, I have a fire like the size of the ceiling. And I sit there praying, God, please don't let that spark fly off, because I know the damage it can do. Do you know the damage that words can do? You can destroy somebody with your words. Words either give life or they give death. Let me pray for you today, because I need to and I want to pray some words over every one of us today to help us. If you're online today, just lean in right now and I'm going to ask God to help us right now. Father, I pray in Jesus' name for my friends and family today in the room and also online. Father, we lean into the encouragement and the command of your words today to understand that we have life choices that we need to make every day. And we have the ability and the opportunity to make good and healthy choices, particularly the way we talk. Help us to be adults in this, and help us to adult well in the way we talk. There are some tensions we need to hold about the things of life, and rather than lower our mouth to the lowest denominator here and talk about the fear, the problem, the worry, and be caught up in that and overwhelmed by that, that we'd be people of faith, that no matter what goes on, no matter what the circumstance or situation, in all things we would give you thanks, and in all things we would rejoice. That would be the kind of people that we would be, Father. Faith people, that we would speak to the highest level of our faith, to guard our words, guard our heart, understanding out of the overflow of the core, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks, to be careful how we engage with other human beings, the people in our home, the people in our team, the people in our church, that we'd always be life-giving. That people would hear what we're for, what we believe in, who we're for, more than they would hear our complaint, is what I pray in Jesus' name. Father, help us to do the journey in these practical areas of choosing life and to do it well, I pray. And today, we make the choice to choose life in you, in Jesus' precious, most powerful name. Amen, amen, amen. We're going to finish this morning with this classic old worship song. And why don't you lean in your heart today, lift up your hands, worship the Lord today, whether you're online or in the room. I exalt thee. Come on.
I exalt thee.
God, I exalt thee. bless you. Thank you so much for being with us today. Thank you for being online this morning with us. God bless you. Enjoy your day. Enjoy your week. And cafe's open. We've got free coffees. Don't forget, for all those that are volunteers, if you can do the sign, you get the coffee. God bless you. Thank you to all our volunteers. If you're a new person today, why don't you take a few moments just to join some friends and family and meet some people in the cafe area with some hospitality. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you.